everyone. Welcome to Parade of Dicks. We've got the weird porn music back, apparently.
Fuck yeah.
It never left.
Thanks for that, co-producer Jonelle. Say hello.
Hello.
And the third part of our tripod.
Third leg.
Miss Allegra Spread.
Hi.
Hi, welcome back. My name is Lucy Buttons. Sometimes known as the Dick Finder General.
Zup.
And this is the Parade of Dicks.
Hey, it is.
We are the dicks.
We're the dicks at this three point. Of them. Three of the dicks.
Where would you put the third one?
We're three right here.
Are you still would using you do- the tripod analogy?
Well, no, if it's three dick, like, would you, one up the vag, one in the ass, and one in the mouth?
Yeah. I thought it was a tripod made of dicks.
I know people do that.
Do you have a visual now?
I do now.
You're welcome.
So I do know it's
This is like the bag of dicks. We could talk about the bag of dicks, too.
Should we tag Louis C.K. on Twitter and see if we can get his attention? Okay, let's
talk. Jonelle, have you ever played the bag of dicks game with me before?
No.
Okay, so do you watch Louis C.K.?
Of course. He's the best.
He's an asshole. Just like us.
I love Louis C.K. So he has this thing he comments all the time about a bag of dicks. And it's now become sort of a thing. People even know this about me backstage. If we're bored, we're killing time. I will mention the bag of dicks and say when I mention it, what do you picture? So let's try, Jonelle, describe your bag of dicks.
It's literally a bag of dicks.
Okay, what kind of bag?
A velvet satchel.
What color is it?
Brown.
Brown? Like chip brown?
Wood brown. I'd say wood brown.
Wood brown, velvet satchel. And what do the dicks look like?
Probably wooden cutout dicks.
Like wooden dongs?
Like carved dicks? Like a mallard, but
whittled.
A dick?
Whittled.
Whittled?
Whittled?
What's a whittle?
Did you learn that word recently?
That's when you carve. He doesn't know it.
Oh, that's the technical word for that? I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'm from Wisconsin. Come on.
Do you have a mallard on your, what's that thing that they call it?
I know a mallard is a duck.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Like your centerpiece. You know, what's the name of that big thing that people have in their foyer? Yeah. Mantle.
Mantle.
A mallard on your mantle.
I don't have a mantle. It's New York City.
I'm in Wisconsin. Oh,
I wish I had one of those fake fireplaces, though, even in New York. They're just cute. They used to function.
I'm rolling my eyes if you can't tell.
I was in an apartment in the Lower East Side once that had a real fireplace, and it was during the hurricane, and I got one of those logs that you can, what are those called? You can buy them at the corner store. You've probably
Yeah.
The battery powered ones?
I built a little fire. No, they actually
real ass logs.
It was a real ass fireplace, so I got a real ass log and lit it up.
Did you burn?
Of course.
Okay.
I felt very special to have that experience on the Lower East Side. That was amazing.
Wait, my dick will be cartoon dicks cut.
You can't change in wood. It.
That's what I said. You said what kind of dicks?
Cartoon dicks. They have faces on them?
No, it's just like a cartoon drawing, not like anatomically correct.
Oh, wood. So like it's a very simply carved dick. Like it's like a stencil.
Yeah.
Like the stencil shape is carved rather than
that's
like
what's in your bag of dicks.
Yeah.
Wooden stencil dicks.
Yes.
That's going to get really interesting when I explain the rest of it. That's all that's in your... How many of those?
Let's say eight.
Do the dicks have balls?
Yes.
Are they circumcised?
Of course.
Are they... I mean, I know they're just drawn on wood, apparently, or like kind of etched into the wood.
Correct.
Are they of any specific culture?
No, because they're drawings.
Are they hard or soft?
They're wood, so they're hard.
No, they're drawn on wood.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, are the dicks erect?
Yes, they're straight, drawn on dicks, circumcised, with balls, no hair.
No hair.
Because the hair is on the person, not on the dick.
And, Allegra, what does your bag of dicks look like?
Well, you've heard me describe this before. It's like a plastic deli bag, and they're, like, severed, like chicken necks.
Which deli bag, though? The one with thank
you? The clear one.
No,
it's literally like a clear like a clear bag like you would get at the deli that you have your cheese or your turkey in it. And they look like chicken necks. They're like flaccid and they're fleshy and they're
Oh, they're real dicks.
Oh yeah.
Ooh.
Are they white dicks, black dicks, brown dicks?
They're white dicks.
Circumcised.
They're too severed to tell.
They're like mangled.
They're not mangled, but they're all like smooshed in there.
Are they bloody?
Well, there's blood in there like you would in a bag of chicken necks.
Okay. I've never bought a bag of chicken necks, I so use, I'm sorry.
Okay, the only reason and I know what a bag of...
listeners might not have.
Right, yeah, because dogs. I'm a dog owner, so that's the only reason why I know what a bag of chicken necks looks like. Because one of my dogs was a brat, and he loved to eat on some chicken necks. They're okay. Cheap, too.
That is an interesting description. I didn't get the deli bag thing before, even though we have had this discussion. So my bag of dicks is a brown grocery bag.
Paper bag.
Mm-hmm. There's no label on it. Mm-hmm. And the top edge is folded over.
Okay.
And somehow, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's full of cum. And there's a bunch of white, circumcised, hairless, with the balls attached, dicks bobbing in the cum.
You've thought about this a little too much, though.
No, so that's the thing. Is
it
has
not, to be the first thing
It has
you
to
think
be
of.
The first thing that comes to mind, like that you just visualize when Louis C.K. says bag of dicks, or when I'm like, "You go eat a bag of dicks." Like, what do you picture? Mm. And that's what I pictured.
You take them out and suck them one at a time. Do you suck the bag on the side? You know how it has the full bit.
You did say that. You did say it was full of cum. How did the paper bag stay paper?
I know. I said it doesn't make any sense. But here's why it's interesting. I think
it's wax lined.
The first time that I played this sort of, or that I had this conversation with some people, it was very, very indicative of their sex lives. So one girlfriend had a recycling garbage bag full of rainbow-colored dongs, and she could not get off unless she had a vibrator of some sort.
You're talking about when you say dong, you mean dildo, right?
Yes, but like isn't the rubbery it differentiate? Well, that's the thing, is it could be rubbery ones, it could be hard ones, it could be vibrators. It was just like
sex toys,
a mix,
essentially.
Yes, right. but dick ones,
yeah,
right?
Dick toys.
And multicolored, not at all resembling a human penis.
Like plastic colors, like a bright pink or bright purple or bright yellow. Well, God forbid, you know.
Right, and it was a garbage bag of them. So she, like I said, she needed those to get off. Then the other girl, when she described hers, I don't remember what her bag looked like. I'm sorry, this was years ago. But I've been having this conversation for years. Yes, you're welcome. But her bag was only full of brown dicks, and she preferred to only date Spanish men, so that made perfect sense.
Right.
And same when you talk about size and all those things. Even, like, recently I had a conversation with some colleagues at my day job, and they were all talking about, you know, the kind of sex they like and the things that they liked, and they all sort of went along with the cultures that they dated and things like that. It was very interesting.
And obviously, in my experience, the severed compartment of when I remember when I told you, when I described my bag of dicks to you the first time you asked me, you're like, well, isn't that indicative of a lot, like your relationship with the cis white dick?
They can feel your hate.
They can feel your hate. Yes, that was exactly what you said. They can feel your hatred.
Yeah,
and I still believe that's true.
Yep, I stand behind it. But Jonelle,
so
yours
my relationship is basically
Ron Burgundy,
artificial. Or yeah. Non-existent. Sounds about right.
Luxury?
A figment of your imagination.
Yes, it's wrapped in luxury, but it's...
splintery.
Splintered.
Dry.
Cheap.
Dry.
Dead.
Oh, yeah, dead wood.
Hey. What? I'm not going to do
nope.
that. No. I'm not going to do it.
Nope.
We're going to try no air horns this episode.
Okay.
That's
well, let's
our
be
feedback
serious
we got.
When we talk about a bag of dicks that's imaginary.
We have to listen to the listeners.
Yes.
Give them what they want.
True.
Okay.
Which is apparently a wooden bag of dicks. Very odd.
Presented in luxury.
Yep. So, but wait, speaking of listeners, I think this is a good opportunity for us to give a shout out for the people that are interacting with us through our channels.
Right. So we want to thank my friend Phil.
Yep.
So do you want to read Phil's comment?
Yes. So Phil commented on our episode zero, which is kind of cool and it's nice. And I quote, he said, "Jonelle, I was naive and never thought how tall a guy is was a date disqualifier. I am 5'10 and a girl once told me I was too short. Everyone with their preferences. But whenever I saw profiles of girls that said 6 foot, I compared it to a guy writing, if you're over 150 pounds, swipe left." So that's a good input. Like we kind of have in our first episode or zero episode when we're describing this podcast, my mention of height was something that I was irked with.
Right.
But I forgot that other douche guys also put this on their profile. They put weight requirements, which is kind of horrible.
Kind of horrible?
It's very horrible.
Very horrible.
Super horrible.
So I'm actually really excited to talk about this.
Cool.
So I generally, you know, a lot of women lie about their weight. They lie about their age. And I made a decision for myself years ago to omit my age because I don't think it's representative of my life experience, because I moved to New York City when I was 18 by myself with no help from anybody. And when I was, you know, like 20, people would still treat me as though I was a child living at home in New York. And I didn't think that was really fair, and it didn't describe really what I was going through in my life. So I sort of decided that it was not important, although I am guilty of sometimes asking people their age to gauge theirs. So a little hypocritical. Mm-hmm. I'll cop to it. But the weight thing, I think, is something that I've had more progress with, because everybody lies about their weight. Everyone shaves off a couple of pounds, and therefore it gives people the idea that people weigh less than they do. So normally, the standard, I think, for women is 120 pounds. But that certainly depends. I'll get there. So it certainly
depends. I don't know
what
that is in kilograms. That's the only reason why I made that face.
Can we quick Google the conversion for Allegra?
Thank you. Sorry, I'm a trans.
How many stones is it?
That's fuck off. That's the wrong. Well, right, Commonwealth, wrong continent.
Just teasing. So we'll look that up for you.
Thank you.
Sorry to lose you. But so that was like the ideal, but it depends how tall you are. I'm 5'7". I think if you're 5 feet tall, maybe that's an okay weight. Maybe that's a healthy looking weight. So for a long time, I did lie and say that I weighed 120 pounds when I in fact weighed 135 at the time, and I thought I was heavy. So the ideal weight, according to that
BMI,
yeah,
body mass index scale,
what a doctor would say would be 135. And I am a size 6. Sometimes I'm a size 8, but my weight actually doesn't really fluctuate that much, even when my size changes, and even depending on my level of activity. So I found that for like 10 years, I was the same way. Even when I was a professional ballroom dancer, dancing 40 hours a week and in the best shape of my life, the shape I'd always wanted to be in, and it was natural and healthy and all that stuff, I still weighed 146.
Let's remember also that muscle weighs more than
exactly.
fat.
Exactly.
Absolutely. But my point is, I actually went down to size 4 at that point.
And you're 146 pounds.
Because I'm 5'7", and that's a healthy weight. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that someone put on their profile that now I'm a little bit more than that, I've gained some weight recently, and so I'm over 150. So if it's over 150, swipe left, then, you know, that's, I think I'm still kind of average or slim even.
You are slim by American standards.
So why that's important is that weight isn't really important, and isn't really indicative of, because muscle does weigh more, height weighs more. That would be, if I was 135 pounds, you guys would think I would look sickly.
That's true. And by the way, 120 is 54 kilograms.
Jesus fucking Christ, that's tiny.
Yeah.
That's real tiny.
That's like this, it's just like most women would say that they weigh that.
I would say someone would have to be 5'2" for that to be healthy.
But that's how fucked up our
culture
is.
But it depends what your bone size is, your structure.
Exactly.
I mean, I know a lot of petite people that have a super, super high metabolism. They eat like, you know, they have like a, you know, very, very broad and very carb filled and very fat filled diet. And they just have such a rapid metabolism that they actually struggle to gain weight. And it's a point of dissidence for them. And it's, you know, weight is, everyone has a different relationship to what the actual scale says. And why is it relevant?
And like what we discussed in the first episode too, with regards to this particular issue, it's that it's not necessarily the actual whole number that you put or whole description that you put. It's just the narrow-mindedness that if you're X, you're Y. Because for me, there are 150-pound women or men that looks fat or thin, depending on how their proportions, you know, maybe sometimes their, again, bone structure or whatnot. And then you can be 105 and still look unhealthy in either way. So it's more like you can be 160 and look gorgeous. You can be quote unquote plus size and be still sexy, but you can also be your perfect height, your perfect weight, and still doesn't look healthy depending on the aura that you kind of have around you.
And still might not be healthy.
Exactly.
Let's just remember also that like what your, you know, your height and your weight and your like physical appearance is completely not indicative to your relationship with food and with activity mm-hmm. as well.
True. Absolutely.
As someone who's all like recovering from an eating disorder still at 27 years of age, I've had this eating disorder like diagnosed since like, you know, for 17 years. Mm-hmm. And I would think for me as a dick disqualifier, quote unquote, that anyone that would mention anything to do with weight on the profile is an immediate swipe left.
Absolutely.
Fuck that bullshit.
Absolutely. And there's plenty of like, quote unquote, plus size people that might even look heavy to whatever like people's norms are.
Traditional standard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That are healthy.
Yep. They're super healthy. They work out more than I do. And I'm like on my squishier side of average. I'm average sized. I have like some extra weight that I'm actually totally fine with right now. I would prefer to be a little tighter around the middle, but that's nothing that, you know, yoga a couple times a week couldn't fix.
Like, yeah.
You really need to talk to your doctor too, because if I just went online and checked my height and what my ideal weight is, I'm technically obese because I'm 5'5". I'm on the short side of the guys. I should be anywhere between 144 to 154.
And really?
That's what this site says.
For age and for height?
For age, height, and weight. So that's kind of like my range of healthy optimum. So I am now 171.
Right.
So I'm above. So it's not morbidly obese, but it's technically obese.
You're still in the overweight category.
Yeah. So but
I would be obese too.
Yeah. I know that I'm definitely in the higher point of
if
the
we're
overweight
just
category.
Looking at
and
it,
I'm 5'9". So
if we're just looking at it on paper or on generic sites, but you can go to your doctor and they can check your blood, BMI, and all those other things, because you might be healthy, but inside there might be other stuff that you've been doing. You might be in the perfect height weight, but you smoke and you drink, you don't sleep well, you don't eat the right things, so you might be unhealthy. You can be a little bit over, a little under, but if you're living a healthy lifestyle and you're good of spirit, maybe you're a lot healthier than most people.
I feel like the relationship that you have with your body is so crucial mm-hmm. to your relationship you're going to have with your partner, because it really does feed how you let people interact with your body.
Absolutely.
Sure. And like sometimes it's what I said I mentioned this to Lucy earlier, is I've actually had a lot more intention on my squishier side of self now that I have more confidence and appreciation for my body, because I carry my body differently. There was a point where I had abs for the first time in my adult life like 5 years ago. And I was miserable and no one wanted a bar of me because I was like meh, shmeh, 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 shmeh. And now I'm like, you know, strutting down. People are like, yes. So, you know.
Well, and I also think you attract a different type of person.
Yeah.
I have a friend who's basically has the body of a professional bodybuilder. You know who I'm talking about. And that's what she enjoys doing. She likes to go to the gym and she wants to date a gym rat. And that's her thing. So it makes sense. And I found that, you know, when I was firmer, attracting one kind versus when I'm squishier, when I'm curvier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they also sometimes want different things sexually then.
Yeah.
Depending on
a couple of years ago, I was really fit. Like 4 years ago, I could work out for 4 hours a day, 4 to 5 days a week, play basketball and swim in the same day.
Were you happy?
No, that's the thing. I was happy playing basketball. And then I was semi-happy swimming, but I have long hair, so it's kind of sucky. But I never really liked the stretching, prepping, eating when I should eat or what I should eat, and then I should, and laundry after because of all the gym clothes that you're wearing. So
it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. It's just not my lifestyle to be that. So right now, although I would really prefer to be more fit, not because I want to, no, of course, yes, to look sexy, but it's just one of the many things that I that will make me feel sexy. It's like playing 10 minutes of basketball and then feeling like I'm dying doesn't make me feel sexy.
Right? I think there's a difference between, and like total misconception between fitness and thinness.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there are some incredible people that, I mean, everyone should go follow Roz the Diva. She's an incredible pole and yoga instructor who's, I guess if you're going to have to use a like a magazine label for it, she's plus sized and she is badass and she's awesome.
Yeah.
And she's definitely like the key to like proving that fitness and thinness are not the same in the
absolutely.
Same category.
Absolutely. And that's why I think it's important for women especially to talk about their weight in a real way so that we can sort of undo that idea that 120 pounds or 54 kilograms or whatever is the only acceptable weight. It's ridiculous. It's unattainable. And you could be that. And if you're 5'10", that's extremely unhealthy. Yep. And you might fit into those clothes you think you want to wear or the trend or whatever, but like it might not actually even look good on you. And it doesn't, it's not representative of healthy. So that's, I mean, it's partially still from that like 80s fitness craze.
I was going to mention Madonna. She's the first person I thought of when we were like thinking about it, 54 kilograms. I'm like, yeah, Madonna.
Oh, I think of Olivia Newton-John bouncing around in her leggings and leotard
Let's
and headband.
Get physical.
Yeah. Because that was when that was.
Yeah.
And that was, the thing is, our culture pushed back with that because of the food things that we did. We made sugar. We put sugar in everything. Yep. There's really interesting documentaries. I'm going to like go on a whole tangent
high
about
this. High
fructose
corn syrup because sugar is actually more expensive.
And everyone needs to watch that sugar film. Right. It'll change your fucking life.
Absolutely. And then we took the fat out of things. But when you take the fat out, then it doesn't taste as good. Plus, your brains actually need fat. So then we fill it with sugar, which the sugar is just going to turn into fat. But now it's bad fat. Mm-hmm. And you ate food that was less nutritious and all the, you know what I mean? So it's just, and then we came up with the fitness craze because suddenly America was getting heavier, but America was getting heavier because of all the stuff. And even in Asia, you see that after America infiltrated and brought over all of our processed foods, I can't remember the name of the part, I want to say it's in China, that was the healthiest people, the people that live the longest and like statistically according to doctors and science and stuff are the healthiest people. But then now they have Spam and they have McDonald's and they have all that shitty American food and dairy products, which no one should be consuming anyway. And now they're all getting the same diseases we have because that's the American way, is to spread our shitty habits, our bad stuff everywhere else and take over because like it's more food, but it's less nutritious.
Yeah. Fun fact, westernization is not only the culprit of that, also colonization. So the indigenous people of Australia, for example, were doing super well, eating off the land and, you know, hunting and gathering, and were like at their peak of fitness. They're all like ripped as fuck and they're like chilling and having a great time. Captain Cook, cunt face, like rolls on in his ship. Can I say that word?
Sure.
Great. Just said it anyway. Whoops. I mean, you can edit it out later if you need to, I guess. Rolls in, and then the same thing happened. They introduce all of these fine carbohydrates and like and alcohol and sugar and cane and all of these crops that the indigenous people of Australia were not, that were introduced to them, and the colonization meant there is like a rapid problem with obesity and then also with substance abuse because of, you know, alcohol and all this kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
It's not just the Americans.
Well, fair enough. But point is, anybody that puts it on their profile is obviously a dick.
Yeah.
Dick.
Anything that shows narrow-mindedness, be it physical, you know, even, you know, sometimes too narrow political views, too narrow spiritual views, it's indicative of that person's personality with regards to their interaction with things.
Sure.
So
And to Phil's original point that some woman told him, she's 6 feet, he's 5'10". I get that because it's 2 inches different, he's lower. But what I really hate are the 5'2" girls that need to have a man that's over 6'2".
They want to look like they're being kidnapped.
And they want to have like a certain look in pictures with their certain high heels and all that stuff. And I just, leave them for the tall girls.
No.
So rude.
Or tall boys that want, you know. But I don't get that. I don't get why we're dating for a picture or for a pair of shoes or any of that stuff. You know, I know that you're salty about that, but like just to be realistic about it, I think is helpful to everyone. And also, you know, even though certain things make us horny or not, we are dealing with other human beings. Like, human beings have feelings. So when you say it, you can say it in a nice way. And on your profile to have weight thing is just like, no one's ever going to fuck you if you have that on your profile. Well, like, you're just masturbating at home. And it's that angry masturbatory thing where you're just like yanking on it and crying.
And circling back to the physical thing.
The idea of the, like, the angry cry wank with, like, metal in the background just makes me homesick.
For what?
My friends.
Because they did that?
Yeah.
Did you ever walk in on it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
Did you ever watch? Crying?
Yeah. Listening to metal. But, I mean, you know.
You watched?
Not for long.
Did you masturbate after seeing
it? No, I did not.
Did you laugh? Did you mock them endlessly?
Well, we mock each other. That's the Australian way, though.
If I saw someone doing that, I would definitely... But
we're all cunts.
I dated a guy who kind of had like that angry wank thing going.
Teach it a lesson. Choke the bishop.
It's really weird because, you know, sometimes when you see it... Sorry, I'm going to go off on a different subject here. But sometimes when you see someone, how they touch themselves, you're like, okay, I can do that or whatever. And I was like, no, I can't do that. I don't know what that is.
Who hurt you?
Circling back to the obsession about physical form, the other pitfall about it is, for example, for guys especially, if once they gain that six-pack, they feel entitled to whatever they want. That's what kind of makes it the inertia of the negative connotation about beauty. There's like, oh, I want all the girls that I want, so I'm just going to obsess about my body. I'm going to make sure that I have that six-pack, because if I have a six-pack, I can get all the women that I want or all the men that I want. So that kind of makes it more like a psychologically damaging thing that, you know, you have to work on the outside more than what you have to work on the inside.
So they can still be a selfish prick.
Exactly.
Essentially.
Yeah.
They probably are. I mean, there certainly are exceptions.
Sure.
But I think I've mentioned that before. The hottest people that I've dated generally were the worst lays because they don't try hard at
boring.
All. They were boring in their minds, like just total Sahara situation. So, yeah, but isn't that kind of your thing, your road to sexy, to get that?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be first to admit the hypocrisy of it, but I also I'd add to that is that road to sexy is not just physical. I mean, I've some problems with emotional stability or emotional happiness or feeling actualized because of other things than physical, like. How can I feel sexy when I can't even manage my own time? Well, I can't find enough time for myself or my friends. You know, I keep on resorting to fast food. You know, I can't even enjoy healthy food.
You mean those nuggets the other day?
Hey, they were the best.
You didn't finish them, though.
Because you were judging me.
I was asleep. There was no judging. I was asleep.
But... Sometimes I use very shallow things like a road to sexy as, hey, how can I get that woman when I myself am struggling to enjoy my own physical faculties?
Well, so that goes back to what Allegra said initially, which was that it really affects how you interact with any partner, mm-hmm. How you feel about yourself. And I feel the same way in burlesque. And it can bleed into my relationships and vice versa. So if I'm not feeling very sexy in my body that day or that month or that week, then it's really hard to go out and perform to an audience. Mm-hmm. And that audience doesn't give a fuck what you feel like. They want to see you feeling good.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's what's going on inside doesn't matter. And that's, woe is me being a performer or whatever. But like, that's a real thing.
But the thing is as well is that like, I mean, I still get messages from people that I have barely any contact with, if any at all, saying things like, you know, I feel so inspired by your body positivity and the way that you just like love on yourself and blah, blah, blah. Like, I mean, I'm not trying to discredit what they're saying. I appreciate that. We're really sometimes shocked about the impact that we have on people. And we have to remember that we're doing it not just for ourselves. Anyone doing it just for yourself, you're fucking selfish. We're doing it for other people.
Yeah. And I've been really inspired watching other burlesque performers embrace their bodies and seeing them shake their cellulite or
absolutely
their rolls or whatever it is. And the way that they have embraced it has actually helped me to embrace my body more because I just, yeah, I wasn't raised in that sort
Everybody's
of
different
thing.
With that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that sometimes that's why I gravitate and I have gravitated toward towards burlesque more than any other art form because of not only the artistry in it, not only the confidence in oneself, it's because it's somewhat freeing from an audience perspective. I'm not a performer.
Yeah.
I just look at it and I enjoy it 10 times more than going to a strip club. Only because one, strip clubs are way more expensive. So I can't really afford
Well, that's not. But that's not why we want you there. Though.
That's true, but like when you go for me, my experience is the few strip clubs that I've been to, it feels somewhat sad. It feels that they don't want to be there. It feels that it is an actual job. But when you watch performers, I know it might not be the case all the time, like but when I watch burlesque, I most of the time truly feel that they are enjoying what their artwork is.
So I got really excited when you started that because I thought you were going to go a different direction with that. And I'm glad that we look like we're enjoying it. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of hoping you were going to say the diversity of the people
exactly.
out there and the fact that they're embracing it, not in relation to strip clubs, because that we could go off on a whole different tangent
yeah,
about
true.
How those people feel about their job, which
it's a real job.
It's yeah, complicated.
It is. It's a real job.
But some people love it, too.
And they absolutely love it, and they feel empowerment, and they get their bills fucking paid, mm-hmm. and, you know, power to them. And no one should be shaming strippers mm-hmm. and praising burlesque in one sentence,
yeah.
because we are one and the same thing, and that is a huge debate that I have with people
yeah.
very often. We're not going to be shaming strippers, no shaming of sex workers. It's not going to happen.
Not at all. If that came out that way, definitely not shaming any profession, because, hey, get your bills. I don't care what you do. As long as you're not hurting other people, you can do whatever career that you want. But, you know, I as an audience, like that's just my preference. Some people might prefer different performances to watch, theater, live music, comedy. I don't care. But for me, I've enjoyed watching you guys perform. I've watched a lot of other people perform. And I enjoy it way much more because I think it's art. I think the diversity is definitely there. It's much more open to whoever wants to really work their asses off, create great costumes and great acts. And if they're good, they're going to stay. If they're not good, they're going to get weeded out, just like any other profession.
So I'm going to say my usual judgy comment, which, like, if you feel sad when you walk into a strip club, I almost think that's about you and
that's
how you
true.
Feel about
yeah.
being there.
Absolutely.
That's I never
projecting.
Really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Although I have been to strip clubs that seemed sad. But
I've been to a strip club that I wished that they were throwing more dollars at the performers that were like doing amazing tricks and actually like, you know, working their asses off, and people were just like sitting around like not paying them.
No, I went to the strip club in Utica and like it was weird, dude. Like this girl had her hair, she had her hair up in a bun and with like a scrunchie on it. You know how I feel about scrunchies. And she hadn't done like any of the stuff. And you know I like the stuff. I like the glamour. So whatever you are is cool, but like put it in a nice package. If you're a stripper and you're completely nude, then that package is your hair and your makeup and your nails or your shoes or whatever. And she didn't do that. And I actually threw a bunch of money at her and was like, take your hair down doll like
Duh.
Please yeah because it was and then she sat on me at one point and you know I was politely I kept my hands behind my back as she straddled me and then she grabbed them and put them on her thighs which I didn't need her to sit on me in the first place. I just wanted her to take her hair down, which she didn't do.
Let's remind people there's a no touch policy unless they touch you.
Sure.
You can't touch, like, you mean, yeah.
But actually, yeah. I do think, like, maybe they should ask me if I want to be touched, too. But anyway.
Consent goes both ways.
Yeah.
You're totally right.
Yeah. But she sat on me, and then she took my hands without my consent and put them on her thighs. And besides all of that, her thighs were, like, and now we're going on another tangent, but her thighs were really hairy, and I just felt like if you're, I know that's a thing,
it's
too.
It's an aesthetic, and it's totally a thing.
This like, was a lot of years ago, and well, it's more popular now than it used
yeah.
to be.
Generally, like smoother legs is kind of.
But there is a
safe.
Standard at a traditional men like gentlemen's club. There's a little bit of a standard look thing
I've
that
got,
that
like,
doesn't.
Two stripper friends that have been fuzzy femmes for like 6 years who are like full time strippers,
well,
and they do like they make a lot of money, and that's their aesthetic, and they are killing it.
Good for them. Totally not my thing, and. She also had...
Go back and listen to our body hair podcast.
Our episode.
Episode Five?
It was like the last one, five. I think. But the other thing was she had these, this is mean and sort of random, but she had bruises like all around her vagina that you could, she had bottoms on too, but you could see she was like, and maybe she's into some kink or I don't know, but it was probably. Just, it was a lot going, it was in Utica, New York, like super far upstate.
I think I'm in like Utica Avenue, like Crown High.
No, upstate, like small town.
I was in Utica, I'm like, is that what they call it now? I would just say Crown Heights.
I think I got shit-faced and got on stage too. It was a fun night, but like, it was just, it was weird.
It sounds like an experience.
It was, I was there with a bunch of firemen.
That made it fun. I've only enjoyed going to a strip club once, and it was only because my close co-workers kidnapped me, brought me in there, and this is how sometimes predictable I get. As soon as we go in, one of my friends is like, "Where's Vanessa?" And then... So
did he actually sound like that?
Literally. So my homie
he's Batman.
My homie who's coming is like, "Hey, where's Vanessa?" And out comes Vanessa, the tallest redhead that they had there. It's like, "Oh, you know me too well." Aww. And then it was nice because it was more of the friendship thing. But the other times that, you know, we stumbled into a strip club because a couple of our friends were a little bit too drunk and didn't want to go home and forced everybody else to go. I wasn't mentally prepared to, one, sometimes be sold, what do you call this? Closeness? What do you want?
Lap dances?
Intimacy. So you're intimacy. Like bartering for intimacy.
Yeah, it's like if people's like, "Do you want a lap dance? Or do you want me to sit with you?" Or something like that. So I wasn't mentally prepared for them to join us. I just wanted to hang out with my homies and watch from afar. Plus, it also in the back of my mind, I was like, "Oh my god, this is gonna be what $50, $100, $150, $200
so
in
you're
one
thinking
night."
With your wallet,
yeah. So I mean, I'm okay, but I'm a baller on a budget. I can't be wasting $200 randomly with unprepared.
Hashtag baller on a budget.
Thank you. I was like, somebody needs to just say hashtag baller on a budget. The first time I ever went to a strip club, I was taking my friend Brad to see his first pair of tits in real life.
Oh, sweet.
We were
9 years 19.
I'm going to say we were 18 or 19. Oh, maybe he was 19 and I was 18. Yeah, but he had never seen a pair of tits in real life. All of the girls in our group offered. He thought that was weird. Well, I was like, "Well, I mean, I can pop a tit if you want to see one." Like, I mean, he hadn't.
What kind of friendship is that?
He hadn't.
None
dated,
of my
he hadn't
friends in high
before.
School did that.
That's very polite that he didn't want to do that of you guys, but.
So we took him to see some tits instead.
Knowing Brad, having met Brad, that's pretty funny.
I thought you would both enjoy that, having both known Brad.
Yeah. There's a strip club in my hometown of Appleton, Wisconsin.
Shout out, Appleton.
called Bean Snappers.
What?
We can shout out Bean Snappers. I have a Polaroid at home.
What is a bean snapper?
Well, it's like you're a dick snapper, a bean snapper. It's like a pun type thing. But we
Sounds
went there.
Aggressive.
Yeah, it snaps.
They kind of were, but we would go there a lot for a little bit. I went there a lot with friends and had some really good times. They have an amateur night too. I never did that. That might have been pre-buttons. But yeah, the other strip clubs weren't the same. And Jonelle, if you've only been to the strip clubs in the city too, I would say they're very different because I've been to like the high-end gentlemen's clubs in the city and they were kind of like whatever.
In New York?
Yeah.
I've been to four because I've been to three here in the city and one in Las Vegas. One and a half because we went to one and just grabbed a drink from another one because the strip clubs that shows bottoms doesn't serve drinks. And the strip club that shows, that doesn't show bottoms,
right?
Serve drinks, so yes. Kind of like that.
That's kind of a standard thing.
I think that's a legal thing.
Yeah.
Is that a legal thing?
Yeah. They can't have the alcohol in most states, I think.
Yeah, I had a discussion about this when I was when I was at a show last week because I was like, "Oh yeah, I guess if it's so hot and like you could just forget to wear pasties," and they were like, "No. If they serve alcohol, you still have to wear pasties."
Technically, but back in the day, a lot of well-known burlesque performers still do this, but would just sort of put a little lipstick and a little glitter, and you're good to go.
Glitter nip is still covering it.
Yeah,
the place, the strip club that we took Brad to for his maiden tit voyage was called Love and Rockets, and there's a cute little neon sign with a rocket on it.
Oh, that sounds cute.
It was really cute. It was really pretty.
The strip club that I enjoyed going to fairly recently was a pop-up strip club.
Was it in a trailer? I always wanted to do a burlesque show that was in a trailer, like at a street fair where you just paid like $5 and you go in and you see like, or $2 and you go in and you see one act on like a, just a pop-up little stage.
Like a vaudeville kind of like caravan.
Yeah, be a cooch girl.
Caravan of teas. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of the cooch tent. I think it's great.
This was basically a midtown building that was closed and they took over the lobby for that night.
You're such a hipster.
Oh, dude, you had the password to go in.
Did they have IPAs?
No, they didn't actually have a stage. It was all just women and midtown folk. And then if you wanted one of the ladies to give you a lap dance, you go back in the back and they give you a lap dance for $20 a song.
That's when you whisper into the girl's ear, wink if you're being held against.
For real.
Because it's not even a legitimate business. All right. So that was our podcast for today.
That was meandering. It was good.
It was meandering. But, you know, that's what we do.
It was a little deep. I kind of dug it.
Well, you're always trying to teach something which no one gives a fuck about.
I wasn't teaching.
So thank you for listening. Please follow us on iTunes, Podbean, Rate Stuff, Facebook. Email us at paradeofdicks@gmail.com. Call in. Do whatever you want to do to give us your feedback. Ask questions. And let us know if you want to be on the show too, right?
Yep.
All right.
Cool. Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.